Okay, we got to behave now because this is being recorded. So this morning in Frisch, they canceled every single class. And they had a last minute assembly, and it was very important. It was very interesting and informative about like the whole situation right now in Eretz Yisrael with all these judicial reforms that they're being proposed and the reactions on both sides. And it's very nuanced. It's very complicated. It's not simply black or white at all. But I think that really is a good introduction to what I want to talk about now, about this whole polarization. It's in America. It's in Israel. It's a lot where people like feel like I just can't have a dialogue. I can't talk to people. I can't relate to other people. I can't understand other people. So with that as a little bit of an intro, we're going to jump right into a famous Gemara. The background, I guess the context of this Gemara is that it's talking about the mitzvah of Puravu. The basic level of obligation is to have one boy and one girl. That's Puravu, right? But the Gemara goes and says, look, just because you had one kid and one boy, don't stop there. Keep on having kids. Keep on having kids. So that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lomad Torah Bialduso. If you learned Torah when you were a yelled little kid, Yomel Torah Bizeknuso. You should learn when you're still older. Hailo Talmidim Bialduso. You had students when you were younger. Yelo Talmidim Bizeknuso. We should also have students when you're old, meaning don't stop. Again, the background was behind this because it's talking about your biological children, right? So your spiritual children, your talmidim, learning, etc. Okay, Almuni said this is the famous Gemara. Shnaim, second line. Shnaim Oser Elef Zugim. There were 12,000 pairs of talmidim Hailo Rabbi Akiva. Interesting. It does not say he had the total number of 24,000 students. It tells 12,000 pairs, which like already when you hear a pair, you hear like interpersonal. You're working with somebody. You have a chavrusa, right? And then goes tells where they lived. And then they all died. Shelo nahagu kavod ze lo ze. They didn't honor each other. So I don't know about you, but if you're the Rebbe and every single one of your students is dying, you're like, oh my goodness, what am I doing wrong? Well, but and Rebbe Akiva, to make the question even stronger, Rebbe Akiva is the one who taught us v'yahav l'recha kamocha, right? Ze klal gadol b'Torah. To love your Jews is the main thing. It's not like he never taught about it. I've heard this from all the time. The Rebbe's teaching you Avos Yisrael, and then they're all dying. So the next part says, "Hayah Olam Shamim." The world was desolate. Ad Shabbat Rabbi Akiva Eitz Lo Rabbeinu Shabedarom. So Rabbi Akiva came down south. Shana Lahem. He taught five students: Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon here is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the author of Zohar. Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Vehem Hemidu Torah Osur Shah. These five rabbis were able to recreate and to bring back the Torah that had been lost for these 24,000 students. So you got to just imagine the determination of Rabbi Akiva, right? After it seems like you're getting slapped in the face, you're being shot down, the Hashem is not interested in you teaching Torah, every single one of your students is dying, he starts again. And many point out that this was a similar attitude after World War II, when the greatest yeshivas in Europe were decimated. It didn't have anything around it. People came to America, people came to Eretz Yisrael, and they started all over again, like Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara says, Tanakul Meis Pesach Yadatzeres. They all died between the time period of Pesach, which we're coming up to right, next week, and Shavuos. Omer V'chama Bar Abba V'itemer V'chia Bar Avin Kula Meisu Misa Ra'a. They all died a very terrible type of death. Mahi, what is it? Rabbi Nachman Omer Askara. Askara literally means asphyxiation. Do you know what that means? When you ask, your throat contracts and you can't breathe. It's like strangling. It's
that's no fun.
That's no fun.
It's like a disease. You can get nauseous.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. That's what happened. So it's not pleasant. Not pleasant. They all died this Misa Mishuna, this atypical type of death. And they all died during a specific time period between Pesach and Shavuos, Sfiras HaOmer, and they were all the telling Rabbi Akiva. They didn't give cover to each other. So there's a lot to discuss that, but I want to try to develop this idea as to what happened, what went wrong. So in Pirkei Avos, you have the next source that says, Ben Zoma Omer Ezu Chacham. So if I were to ask you, how would you define someone who's smart, a Chacham, what would you tell me?
Person who learns
all the time. Person who admits mistakes. Good. What else?
Who knows a lot.
Their IQ, their SAT scores. What?
Makes good choices.
Makes good choices is a chacham. So it doesn't have anything here to do with intelligence. Pirkei says, I'll tell you who's a chacham. Halomed mikol adam. If you can learn from everybody, that's considered chachma. If you can learn something from everybody. Now, it doesn't mean intelligence. You might be more book smart than them. You might know more facts. But there's something that they have that you can learn from. Maybe you can learn from their chesed that they do, from the davening that they do, from the learning, from their sensitivity towards their good mitos, whatever it is, there's something you can learn from everybody. It's fascinating. I was talking with, we had a fire drill today. I don't know what happened, but like we're outside for like a half hour. So I was talking to a few kids. I was making fun of myself. I said, you know, like everyone dresses like a penguin, like white on the inside, and, you know, like an Oreo cookie, you know, right? Why yeshivas they dress in a traditional way? Everyone dresses the same. So I had a chavrus of mine years ago who explained to me a deep insight. If everyone dresses the same, then you kind of have to do something to distinguish yourself besides like wearing some wacky clothing.
Ties.
Like, oh, this guy wears the crazy ties or the funny shoes, the weird glasses or the weird skirts or sweaters. It forces you to not define yourself or people identify you by what you do externally. Everyone dresses the same. Oh, he's the Jewish guy, you know, with the yarmulke and glasses and the black jacket, right? It's all of them. So therefore, no, he's the guy who's always doing chesed. He's the guy with a good sense of humor. He's the guy who davens a long Shmona Esrei. He's the guy who always is willing to help out others. When everyone dresses the same, that takes away the easy way out of just, you know, being different. So halomi mikol adam means that I have something to learn from everybody and to look from that. And if you do that, to chacham, Rabbi Akiva's talmidim on their level weren't able to learn from each other. I'm better. I know more than you. I'm smarter. I'm faster. Whatever it is. People looking down at someone else. And that's a terrible, terrible thing. I want to develop this idea, a few ideas. Also in Pirkei Avos. So the next source you have. Right, this is a Pirkei Avos here, so we'll quote some sources. Omer lehem, suru, go out and see. Ezu derech yeshar shidbek bohod. What's the proper path that a person should pursue in life? So you got, I think, five different opinions. Rabbi Lezer Omer, you know what thing is? An ayin tova. A good eye. They make the joke, you know what a good eye is like in baseball when you don't swing it like a ball. Good eye. They have a little song. G-O-O-D-E-Y-E, good eye, good. No?
That's the song.
That's the song. Okay, but no, it wasn't really mean to have an ayin tova. It means to see the good in others. A situation goes, and you can look at, you know, the proverbial glass as being half empty, half full. To always see the positive things. That's a quality trait. It doesn't come naturally. You work on yourself, and you train yourself, and you're down the kaf sechus to see the positive. That's an ayin tova. So according to Rabbi Lez, that's the main thing. That's the main thing a person should work on. Next opinion, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, chaver tov, to be a good friend, to empathize with somebody. If you remember, we were doing this whole sugi about bikur chol, and we talked about binose ba'olim chavero, to empathize when you see somebody who's not feeling well, to care for them and to put yourself in their position. Rabbi Yossi Omer, third one, shachein tov, to be a good neighbor. You know, doesn't mean just you need to borrow a cup of sugar. To be a good neighbor means to be part of the community. That's the way I understand it to mean, to be someone who's with you. Rabbi Shimon Omer, haros anolad, to see what the future, you know. Life is like a chess game, you know. You guys play chess?
No.
My
brother learned to play chess.
You got. Chess is not about the first move. You got to figure out if I do this, they're gonna do this, and I gotta do this. The good chess people can like plan like moves and moves in advance. But to roas anola means to see if I make this one decision now, how I choose to spend my summer after 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, that's gonna have the implication for where I'm gonna be. You think it's not? Oh, what's the big deal? Decisions we make are huge. The two biggest decisions a person's ever going to make in their lives are who you're going to marry and where you live.
Oh, okay.
Just throwing that out there.
It's not what in my future.
Just throwing it out. Okay, weiter. Rabbi Elazar Omer Leiv Tov, to have a good heart. But I think besides, like, you know, we could spend time just going on each one of these five in the lessons, but what I want to focus on is that each one said something different. They didn't agree. They were all huge Talmidei Chachamim, but each one thought this is the proper thing you should be doing. So there's room to have disagreements, right? Unity isn't when everybody, achdus is when everybody's doing the same thing. Achdus is when I understand where you're coming from. It's authentic to our source. We're not saying that anything goes, like, you know, there's moral relativism and what you say is fine, what I do is fine. No, but within Torah, within Shulchan Aruch, you have very different communities. Some communities, for example, put a tremendous emphasis on learning Torah, right? Lakewood. Tremendous emphasis. Satmar puts a tremendous emphasis on Bikur Cholim. Others, it's tzedakah. In Stone, it's about davening. Doesn't mean that if you put an emphasis on davening, you don't learn Torah, you don't do Bikur Cholim. Just, this is what we feel our community puts in. Some are about doing a Hachnasas Orchim. Different communities, different people have, you know, different places where they choose to put their emphasis on. But they're all equally valid. They all have a source in the Torah. It's not the one's better than the other like that. In the next verse, you have a halacha. We learned the Magen Avraham, right? He's a commentary in Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim. It's here, it's having a fascinating thing that when you build a shul, you're supposed to have 12 windows in the shul. Wait, what shul do you daven at? You daven at Rinat? Sometimes. Where else?
Beth Abraham.
Beth Abraham, where?
Bima.
Bima, where?
Beth Abraham.
Beth Abraham, yeah.
Beth Abraham.
Yeah? Shomer Torah. Shomer Torah. So, close your eyes for a second. Do they have 12 windows?
No idea.
No idea. Next time...
They just got a new building.
Good. So,
probably more than
12.
More than 12.
In the room where we daven?
In the shul, like the actual... Like,
yeah, they all have the Shvatzin's name on it.
Ah! That's the Magen Avraham.
I don't think they have 12 windows, but I think they have windows.
Yeah, there it is.
I think they use like... glass die to divide the windows into pieces, so it's not 12 separate windows. It's like four windows cut into.
You can do that. That also counts. Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah talks about this. The Yashiv has like that. That's right. So now you know the source of the Shvatim windows. Listen to this. Look in the Mogen Amar. Underline Ki Yudbeis Sha'arim B'Shemayim. There are 12 different gates in Shemayim. Each shevet goes through its own neged, corresponding to Yud Beis Shvatim. So it's very nice. You have a stained glass window for Reuven and one for Shimon and one for Levi. Okay. In Shemayim, it means there's 12 different paths. And we know from just the way that the Chumash tells us that you had Yisachar and Zevulun. Those who were, Yisachar was sitting and learning, and Zevulun was supporting him by doing business. Right? Usually when they do the stained glass windows, they put like a nice like ship sailing or something like that, right? Doing business. But that's the idea. Who's better? The answer is just... different sides of the same coin. We're not saying better or worse. We have to understand, and that's part of respecting other people. And again, when a world becomes so polarized, sometimes the conversations don't happen that should happen, and people think, oh, if you're not doing what I'm doing, I'm right, and everyone else is doing wrong. When I teach halacha, I try to point out that there are many different shitas. That's not just one opinion. There's many, many different opinions out there. And again, as you learn and you grow more, you'll see that things are very nuanced. Everything's not so black and white. But that's what the Magen Avraham says. Again, he yud beis sharim b'shamayim, neged yud beis shvatim, v'chol shevet yesh lo shar u'minhag levad. Each one has its own. Mashin is grelim gora, shav l'chol. Okay, so meaning that they used to have their own special nusach of tefillah. If you were from Reuven, you had your Reuven sitter. If you're from Zevulun, you had your Zevulun sitter. Right? Everyone had their own, I don't know what that means, like gate or pathway. But I'm interpreting to mean that you had your own mahalach, your own way of approaching and coming close to Hashem. So in this idea that you can have differences, the Ramban in Parshas Noso with the Nesiim goes through in length and describes how every single one of the 12 Nesiim, right? We're holding now by these days of Nisan, right? Today's Hey Nisan, we don't say Tachanun. The first 12 days were the days when each one of the... What is that? I'm getting nervous. What is that?
It's dinner. So what happens when the heating...
Is it like an animal?
No, it's where?
Dinner.
No, it's like...
Where's our dinner?
That's a dinner. It's a delivery man. The pizza guy's coming through the room.
Right. The pipes expand.
Really?
So it like...
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not getting nervous.
It's like, well, it heats. It bumps the wall.
The heat's expanding. Oh, so let's go back to the Ramban.
Same way, like if you drink hot water, your braces will expand, so it hurts less.
Okay. Comes along the Ramban and says
when you drink hot water,
that the 12 Shvatim all brought the identical korbanos, but for different reasons. Shahaya b'soros miYaakov Avinu. They had a tradition from Yaakov. B'yad kol shevet v'shevet kol ma she'er lo. What's going to happen to him? Ad yimos Mashiach. So each one of them knew what their destiny was going to be. V'hischil Nachshon v'hikriv al Seder Malchus. So Nachshon from Yehuda. Yehuda is there you go. Yeah. There you go. So what's it called? His korban, everything he brought was symbolic of Malchus. Right? Nesala ben Suar. He brings the reasons for each one of them. But what I want to point out is it's fascinating. According to this Ramban, he's explaining how each one of the Shvatim brought the identical same thing, but for totally different reasons. They all brought the exact identical korban for 12 days straight. But, like, I'll give you an example. So, two kids have a green apple for lunch. So, one girl brought the green apple because she loves green apples. The other girl brought the green apple because she was running out the door late for her bus. And I was like, the only thing that was like hanging on the kitchen counter, so she grabbed it. They're both eating the same thing, but they had totally different intentions behind it, right? Mm-hmm. So, people could be doing something externally looking the same, but they could be very different. But it's good. It's good to have variety. Let's do a few more sources. This is a pasuk discussing now the building of the Mishkan. It says, "Va'oros elim ma'adomim."
Dolphins.
Yeah. "Va'oros tachoshim." They translate tachash as a dolphin. Va'atzishitim. So Rashi doesn't learn that the tachash is a dolphin. Rashi says min chaya was a wild animal. Lo haisa el l'sha. It was only created for that generation in the desert. V'harbe gavanim hayuloh, and it had many different colors. Lekach, and therefore, since it had many different colors, mitargim, the Aramaic translation is sasgona, shesos umispayer begavanim shalo. It rejoiced and had a splendor because it was so colorful. So they used these skins from the tachash. I don't think it was a dolphin. I don't know. Maybe I got this from Sfaria. On Sfaria, you can put any translation you want. It's a little bit crazy sometimes. You always got to check your Sfaria translations. Chabad.org is Gabaldic, but Sfaria...
Torah.
It's not class. You don't have to raise your hand.
Okay. Well, you're talking. I think it's like some kind of thing in Kabbalah. They're like these sort of rainbow unicornish things. Like if unicorns did exist, it would have been them.
Could be. There are some who do say that. Yeah. But that's not a dolphin.
No, it's not a dolphin.
Not a dolphin. Okay, right.
What's polarized mean?
Extremely distant, and they can't connect to each other. Republicans, oh, yes, Democrats, yes, vaxxers, anti-vaxxers,
like in
right?
Chemistry, when something is
polarized,
like the
North, yeah, right.
Poles,
yeah.
Or, and South Pole,
right, yeah, right. Solutions to religious polarization. So on this comment, there's a machlokas in the Gemara between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nehemiah. If you look in the English underneath it, Rabbi Yehuda says there were two coverings for the Mishkan. One was made of these, with the oros elim ma'adamim, the red, and one was made from the techoshim. So he held it was two. Rabbi Nehemiah says there was only one. So somehow there was like, you know, different. Yeah, right. So different colors. So if you look in the middle box, right. I'm reading from this book called the Mishkan. A single cover overlaid the entire tent. It was triangle shaped, with a base to the north and south on the west side. Ma'ase Choshev explained the intention as shown in the illustration. Okay, so that's the pictures. Machlokes as to how they actually had the two, corresponding. So, if you look at the next page, it talks about where the Tachashim were. This is in Shmos Chavav, right? Vasisa michse lo'ohel. You're going to make a cover for this. Oros elim ma'adamim, with the red part of the skin. U'michse oros tachashim milamala. And the skin from this tachash, I'm not going to call it a dolphin. We'll call it, what should we call it, like a magical unicorn?
Yeah. Yeah.
The magical unicorn. So they skinned this magical unicorn. It says it made milamala. It's above it. So if it's two different skins, right? Whose opinion was that there were two separate ones? That was Rabbi Yehuda. So I understand what it means. But according to Rabbi Nechemin, there's only one. How can there be something that's milamala? It has to be above. But it's one. There are, again, different ideas about how you combine the two into it. So it says like this. I think this is from the Meshech Chachma, if I remember the idea. That you had, the way it worked, part of the cover was over Kodesh, and part of it extended to Kodesh Kadoshim. The part that was over Kodesh Kadoshim, the holiest, that's the part that had all the colors. To show that that's the holiest thing you can do. When you have one color, or one idea, or one approach, that's not it's a holy thing, it's Kodesh. But Kodesh Kadoshim is when you have different things going together. You talk about the foliage, right? When I'm driving on the Garden State Parkway now it's like all green. But you know, in the autumn, when you have the reds and the greens and the yellows and the oranges, it's gorgeous. Although it's visually, it's so much more exciting, so much more of a beauty. It's a symphony. It's nature's symphony. In a musical symphony, if you have one instrument or 10 of these same instruments, 10 flutes, okay, it's nice. But I have my flutes and all the woodwinds, and I have the percussion, and I have the strings, and I have the keyboard, and I have everything coming together. The music is so much better. Within Klal Yisrael, when we have diversity, that's a wonderful thing. You should never think there's only one way. My way or the highway, there's only one correct approach. There's multiple approaches, and as long as they're based in Torah, endorsed by Gedolim, then that's acceptable. You have the Breuer's community in Washington Heights is much different, I said, between Munkach, which is much different than Labav, which is much different than Telz, which is much different than Chaim Berlin, much different than YU. You can just go through overnight, and these are all Gedolim. And no one can say, oh, this is my approach. You have to know your neshama, where you gravitate towards, what you feel. This is the best expression for me. But one's not better or worse. Have you guys taken geometry yet?
Next year.
Next year, okay. Baruch Hashem, I suffered through geometry in high school.
I suffered through geometry? What do you think?
You know what math stands for? I said this over publicly. Math, mental abuse to humans.
Yes.
That's what math is.
Rabbi
Jaffe's. You have my... Nah, you know, I'm just making ha-ha funnies.
So, didn't you just ask you geometry?
One of the rules of geometry about a circle is that every point on a circle is equidistant from the center. Yeah. Right? Right?
Radius and circumference.
Right? If you draw a circle, every single point on the circle is equidistant from the center. Right?
It's very even in the circle, yeah.
Okay, you know, I teach halacha, I don't teach art. All right.
Arts and crafts, yeah. I'm sure.
I would be the funnest arts and craft teacher.
Yes.
We would like sit and play with Play-Doh all day long.
The newest guzzle.
Let's
I like that. Tamar had a
rabbi. I know. She told me she made a picture of Tosha Rebbe. Yes. I'm waiting. I can't wait. Okay, here we go. Gemara at the end of Tainis. Gemara at the end of Tainis. Omer Ula. Omer Rabbi Lazar. Aussie. Here we go. Aussie Nakodesh Baruch Hu. In the future, Hashem Lasos Machul Letzadikim. Hashem's going to make a circle for all the tzaddikim, v'hu yoshe b'nehem, and he's going to sit in the middle, b'gan Eden. V'chol echad v'echad mar be'etzpo, and each one's going to point with their finger. Shne'mar v'omar b'yom ha'hu, hine elokeinu zeh, kivinu lo v'yoshe'enu, zeh Hashem kivinu lo, nagila v'nismecha b'yeshua so. Each tzaddik is going to make a circle. And then we just pointed out, a circle, every place on that circle is equally close to the center. So if you're tzaddik, if you're gadol, if you're rebbe, if you're Rosh Hashiva, who's saying, we're going to work on davening. That's your path. Or if you're into chesed, or bikur cholim, or learning, whatever it is, you feel, some people connect to Hashem through the world of negina, of zmiros and a kumzitz. That's not their thing. We had a farbreng with Ramosha Weinberger last Thursday night. It's amazing. For some people, it's not their thing. I love it. I was enjoying every minute of it. But everyone has to know what they connect to. Now, what's the Pesach connection? We'll talk a little bit about this. The Torah Tamima brings in the next source an idea that during Kriyas Yam Suf, you heard this before? The ocean split into 12 equal things, right?
Yeah,
and then shave it. And you thought that was, I watched the last one. This is called Compatibility of Missions. In his commentary to Shir HaShirim, the Satmar Rebbe discusses the unique mission of Shlomo HaMelech. Satmar Rebbe brings to there, the verse Legozer Yamsuf Gzorim. The Red Sea was split into multiple components. The Medrash states the sea was split into 12 paths, one for each tribes. Another Medrash states the sea split into 600,000 paths, one for each family.
Wow! I didn't know the Red Sea was that big.
Have you not seen it?
It might not have been, and that happened anyway.
Mm. Ah, so why wasn't one division adequate for the entire nation to pass through? That every person has a distinct mission and purpose in the world, namely to serve Hashem in a manner consistent with the origin of one's soul, a mission which no one else can fulfill. That's what we started off with. A chacham is someone who can learn from everybody. Every single one of us has something unique about it. And that should be cherished and cultivated and brought out and never feel, oh, I'm not like that person. Baruch Hashem, you're not like that person. Hashem wanted you to be like that person. He make you that person. You got to rejoice in who you are and find what makes you special and unique and talented. And that's the idea. There were 600,000. Now look at how cool this graphic is.
Ooh,
graphics.
Wow.
Yeah, but look at the feet. Look at the feet. All right. All right. So again, a takeaway. All right, yeah. The takeaway is
the graphics.
No, you know, a lot of work goes into making the source sheets, my friends.
No, we had a teacher last year.
We had a teacher last year who every time that she handed out a sheet, if we didn't compliment her on the graphics she put in, she would feel insulted and like cry at us.
I'm not insulted.
No.
I'm not insulted. I'm not insulted. It takes a lot more than that to insult me.
Yeah, it takes like SD in your class.
Chas
v'shalom. That's an insult.
Chas v'shalom. Girls, this is amazing. I'm so proud of you guys for coming and getting in a little extra learning. L'kavod the Yom Tov, l'kavod Shabbos, l'kavod Pesach. So I want to bless all of you. As you know, to quote Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof, blessings on your head.
Okay, thank you.
Blessings on your head.